It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Chris Sheeran. Joe Auriemma will be joining us in just a bit. But joining us right now is Tim Dirkus from MLBTradeRumors.com. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Not a problem. Since this is YesNetwork.com and it is Yankees universe, let's start with the Yankees. Now, the things you hear about the Yankees, they need a bat. They need someone on the bench to help them throughout the remainder of the season. So what are the rumors that you've heard about the Yankees possibly picking up a bat?
You know, they have not really been connected to bats yet, and that does surprise me. There are a few decent names out there, some guys that could probably slot in a DH a little bit. We're hearing a little bit about Adam Dunn potentially being available. David DeJesus is an outfielder who's picking up a lot of buzz, but these guys have not really been connected to the Yankees at this point.
Okay, what about any pitching associated with the Yankees? Any rumors on pitching?
You do hear things about Cliff Lee. We've read a little bit that the Yankees are maybe keeping tabs on Cliff Lee. It's usually phrased that way, and maybe it's just the expectation that if an ace pitcher is available, the Yankees want to know about it, just because the Red Sox could, any team could go after a guy like Cliff Lee. He's very affordable, and he's really a game changer. So you get the idea that the Yankees will be monitoring that situation and really are a threat to jump in at any time and grab him.
Well, since you brought him up, let's talk about Cliff Lee for a couple minutes here. What teams are the front runners to possibly get this guy in after his third straight complete game, by the way?
You know, it's hard to pick one out. We're reading a lot about the Mets and Cliff Lee, but you wonder if maybe that's just because there's more media in New York. So he definitely makes sense for the Mets. They need him. They want him. Mejia is hurting, so that kind of muddies up the picture a little bit. So you got to wonder if Wilmer Flores can headline a deal like that or if Mejia can still appeal to the Mariners. But the Mets are definitely a strong candidate. But, you could see probably 10 different teams making a run at him. You could see a team like the Rays jumping in just for the hell of it. I mean, you're not hearing that rumor, but that's a team trying to go to the World Series. Their window might be slimming a bit, and they could add him and replace their fifth starter, and it would be a huge difference maker. So a team like that, the Padres, would be another dark horse. And of course, we hear about the Twins.
Right.
People wonder about the Dodgers, the Rangers, if they could somehow afford it. But Lee is not expensive in terms of salary, so really, I think they probably could be involved.
Now, what you hear in the New York area, if you read the New York papers, of course, Cliff Lee is going to be the main name that you're going to read and that you're going to hear about, and who the Mets should go out and get is Cliff Lee. But you're hearing it's going to be mid-level, kind of like someone like Ben Sheets. Have you heard anything about Sheets possibly heading to the Mets?
I have not heard Sheets connected specifically to the Mets. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, if they determine that things aren't going to work out with Lee, they could move on very quickly to somebody like Sheets. I know that Joel Sherman wrote the other day that they like Ted Lilly as a backup plan. And Ted Lilly, has an ERA in the low threes. He's pitching great. He's not quite Cliff Lee, but, he's a pretty good plan B.
And what about bat-wise for the Mets? Any bats in the Mets' future come the trade deadline?
Haven't heard much there. I think you know, obviously they're getting a huge one very soon in Carlos Beltran. So their outfield is going to be pretty full. You know, some kind of a second base addition could make sense, but I haven't actually heard that type of rumor.
Any rumor about possibly Angel Pagan being dealt when Beltran comes back for someone like a Cliff Lee?
Yeah, that is something that we've heard. People think that Pagan makes a lot of sense for the Mariners and that, you know, they could use an outfielder. He's helpful now. You know, he could fit in well defensively. And, you know, he's actually hitting pretty well. But, you know, we haven't really seen Pagan string together, you know, a couple 600 plate appearance, 150-game seasons. So he's definitely not the headliner of a Cliff Lee deal, but he could be a piece.
Hey, Tim, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma with Yes.
Hey, Joe, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. I actually want to talk about Roy Oswalt right now, another frontline starter that, you know, is on the market. And, you know, what teams have you heard that that Roy Oswalt could be dealt to?
You know, the talk about Oswalt has definitely quieted a bit. And, you know, I think it's because the salary is just something that most teams at this stage do not want to take on, and he's owed quite a bit. So, you know, we've heard about those same teams that could be in on Lee. Somebody like the Rangers could jump in, and he'd like to play there. And, you know, the Mets could be involved, but we haven't really heard that they're very interested in Oswalt. Yeah, I think some of these other second-tier guys, not even second-tier, but, you know, just a little worse than Cliff Lee. These other guys who don't have quite as big of a contractual commitment are kind of jumping ahead of Oswalt.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of the teams that are both rivals to the Yankees and Mets. And first, I want to start with the Phillies. The Phillies seem like they're one pitcher short. Any rumors on what might be going on with the Phillies?
I think they could look to add a starting pitcher. I think that makes a lot of sense. I also think, however, that perhaps their bigger concern at the moment is the injuries to Utley and Polanco. So I can see them adding some kind of infielder, probably not a big name, but maybe more of a patchwork guy. And I could see maybe them doing the same with the rotation rather than going after some kind of ace.
Now, I know you mentioned the Rays before, but what are you hearing from, you know, both the Rays and the Red Sox on any possible moves that they might make?
The Red Sox are in a similar position where they've got a ton of injuries and they're trying to see if the replacements can hold up, you know, and if those guys are going to be okay. So they might wait a few weeks and then see exactly what they need. Do they need an outfielder or maybe they need a starting pitcher? You know, but both teams' rumors have been fairly quiet in terms of being linked to specific players.
Now, the AL Central is really tightening up. The White Sox and the Tigers and the Twins all vying for first place right now. You know, a month ago we might not have been talking about this, but are the White Sox and Tigers going to be buyers right now?
Yeah, I think so, and it definitely makes a lot of sense for both of those teams to make additions. I think the Tigers could use a starting pitcher, and I think that if they're not, they should be in on Cliff Lee. He fits for them as much as he fits for any of those other teams I've mentioned. The White Sox were connected the other day to Adam Dunn, you know, which could be kind of the Jim Thome replacement that Kenny Williams never really went and got.
Right.
We're not sure if the Nationals are going to make Dunn available, but for the White Sox to slide him in at DH, it does make a lot of sense, even if Dunn doesn't want to be a designated hitter right now. He doesn't really have a choice.
Team in the AL West now, the Texas Rangers, it looks like they might be, you know, their pitching staff has been great all year, but it looks like they might want to probably improve their ball club a little bit, too. The Angels are right on their tail. Are either one of those teams in on anybody?
Yeah, the Angels were linked to Dunn a little bit. And then the Rangers, a recent rumor had them scouting Jeremy Guthrie of the Orioles, and perhaps that scouting mission was a little more oriented towards the trade deadline rather than just, you know, normal coverage. But, you know, the thing about the Rangers, people kind of act like they can't possibly make a trade because of the whole financial situation, but you know, you could always have them giving up a better prospect and have the team covering the salary, which is something the Dodgers did you know, last couple of years and got some big names. So there's definitely precedent for a team with no money to acquire some decent players.
Now, there was a rumor that I had heard. Maybe I was wrong, but I thought I saw something about Dan Haren being linked to the Yankees as well. Are there any truth to that rumor?
I haven't read a ton about Haren and the Yankees. You know, it seems at this point that even though Haren is having an off year, that the Diamondbacks would kind of need to be blown away to trade him. But I do think, from the Yankees' point of view, he does make sense as somebody to monitor.
Right.
Just because his commitment, I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's fairly reasonable, and I think, you know, it would do less damage to the payroll than signing Cliff Lee to a 5 or 6 year deal in free agency. So if you think that Haren is comparable to Lee, then, you know, that would be an angle to at least consider.
I know we've basically gone the gamut with all of the teams in the American League, but I want to talk about right now the National League West. Another tight race. All of those teams seem to be involved. The Dodgers, who, you know, have, you know, said that they might not go out and get anybody else because of money reasons. You know, is there any rumors going on with the Dodgers or the Giants or any of those teams in the NL West?
Sure. I mean, the Dodgers could use an arm. I think adding a starting pitcher is a reasonable thing to do. You know, they've done it in years past with guys like Padilla and Garland and, you know, even Maddox at some point. I mean, they've always kind of added a starter if Ned Coletti felt that he should. So I wouldn't see them as any kind of front runner for Cliff Lee or an Oswalt, guys like that. But, you know, the Ben Sheets of the world, or maybe the cheaper guys would be the ones that they'll probably focus on. The Giants are looking for some kind of offensive help. Brian Sabian said recently he does not want a rental, so, you know, you can kind of cross off all these free agents to be off their list. But, you know, there's guys like DeJesus who has an option for next year. So there's plenty of options who are controlled for 2011 that the Giants might take a look at.
Tim Dirkus, MLBTradeRumors.com. It's Chris Sheeran once again, Tim. Once again, we want to thank you for jumping aboard the podcast this week. I have one more question for you. I just wanted to see if this rumor was true, and I don't know if it is, but any news on the Yankees, Mets, Cavaliers, and Indians trying to work out a deal to get LeBron James to the Nets?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a little out of my trade rumor realm, but, you know, it sounds like something that you might find on the message board.
I'm pretty sure we could figure something out here. Like, Fausto Carmona goes to the Mets. He could help him out with the pitching. LeBron comes to the Nets. He helps us out, obviously, in those ways. And, you know, the Yankees send something to the Indians. They get something back. I don't know. I'm just, you know, throwing some spaghetti on the refrigerator and seeing if it sticks. You know what I mean?
I think my website would explode if they started making cross-sport trades and, you know, bringing LeBron into the conversation.
But
we got enough going on as it is, I think.
But that would be great, though, wouldn't it?
It would be pretty fun. I mean, just to make it a little more insane, right?
Absolutely. Tim, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming on. Once again, MLBTradeRumors.com for all of your deadline needs. And it's all baseball season. You want any news that's going on in the world of baseball, you check out the site, MLBTradeRumors.com. Tim, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and His Eminence, the Godfather, Joe Auriemma.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
You know what? You did a really good job on that interview. I have to say you carried it.
Why do you say that?
You did.
Well, you know, I asked
him
about...
I was just like, hey, any rumors about the Yankees? Any rumors about the Mets? All right, Tim, Joe, here you go.
Tim was great, wasn't he? And, you know, he is all about, you know, just covering the entire
league. Well, the website is ridiculous because, you know, everybody thinks it's, well, when July rolls around, you know, that's the website, and then it just goes bye-bye. No, that's not the case.
No.
If you're on Twitter, you could follow MLB Trade Rumors on Twitter as
yes.
well.
He's all over it during the winter. I mean, it's amazing.
Everything. During the season, not just the trades, everything. Tim does a tremendous job, and we really appreciate him coming on the podcast because he makes it exponentially better.
Right.
All of our guests the past couple weeks have made this exponentially better. Kevin Kernan, Tommy Lasorda, Jim Cott. Who am I missing?
Wow. Eddie Coleman. Oh, Eddie C. How did we forget Eddie C?
Eddie C was tremendous. He'll never come on again. Nah, he's a great guy. So was Kernan. They just do a great job, and it helps us out very much. So thank you very much to everybody who comes on to the podcast and helps us get this done. All right, before we sign off for this week, and I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit of time before we do that with this topic we're going to talk about. Tonight on my batting practice show, the Yankees batting practice on Yes Network, which I host, we are going to...
Really? You host that show?
I have no idea.
I didn't even know.
I'll be here.
I got to be honest. I don't watch Yes.
I'll be wearing a suit, and I'll be standing in front of a camera. I just can't tell you if I host it or not. But on the show tonight, which is Wednesday when we're taping this, I know I'm not supposed to date this. Kevin Sullivan, deal with it. But... Hi, Kev. We're going to do Tweet the Talent, and it looks like most of the questions here are about Phil Hughes, so I figured we'd talk about the Hughes rules.
I'm down. You know me.
I'll start.
Okay.
Because I know you have lots to say. Now, listen, I brought up the guests because... Those guests that I mentioned, we brought this up with every single one of these guests, besides Tim, because, you know, that's Tim's thing is the rumors, and that's what we wanted to get out of him. I'm sure he would have had an opinion on it if we brought it up. But it's how these young pitchers are being babied, and it's affecting the way they perform. And we talked to Jim Cott. We talked to Tommy Lasorda. We know how Nolan Ryan views this. We've gotten Kevin Kernan's thoughts. We've gotten Eddie Coleman's thoughts on this. Now, if you ask me, it's kind of like how Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson ruined radio and television for the rest of us by their wardrobe malfunction.
That is some comparison.
Well, that one thing, if you let me finish for 2 seconds, that is like Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood having the arm problems they had and ruining it. Yeah, I put another syllable in there that I shouldn't have. But they've ruined it for all these young pitchers who are trying to make a career for themselves. Nolan Ryan, when he was coming up, I guarantee you there were no rules for him. How long did he pitch?
Yeah, he pitched till he was 47. He pitched 27 seasons.
Okay, thanks.
Jim Cott...
I was just wondering.
Jim Cott also threw 260 innings in a 125-game season in the minor leagues, and he had quite a long career as well.
Listen, I don't know. I know Mike Messina was very weird about he had to start every fourth day, every fifth day. Nothing. His routine couldn't get broken up, or there were just issues. There were problems.
Right.
I don't know if Phil Hughes, as young as he is as quirky as that yet. But I think when you take someone out of that routine, I think it does hurt how they go about preparing to take on a major league team. Now, we know that Hughes doesn't take 10 days off and just sit there with his feet up charting pitches. He doesn't do that. He still has his throw days.
Right.
He might throw a simulated game, but he's not in the game. He's not in a game situation.
Right.
He's not even coming out of the bullpen. And they want to keep him to, what is it, 160 innings?
The last I heard was 182 now.
All right, and he has now, with the game he just pitched, it's close to 90 innings pitched.
Right.
I just think you're taking a kid that's 10-2 and destined to be an all-star.
I want to hear what you have to say, because I'm going to keep, you know.
And you're shutting him down.
I agree, yep.
And, look, I know with Pryor and Wood, I know what everybody thinks, and these young arms have to be protected, but I think I'm going to go with my father, with Tommy Lasorda, with Nolan Ryan,
with Kevin Kiernan, with Eddie Coleman, with all these guys that Jim Cott have been guests and former players and managers who've dealt with young arms before and know what they're talking about. And my father caught semi-pro baseball. That doesn't make him, you know...
No, he's more of an authority than most people.
But he has an opinion.
Right.
And it's what I grew up with my entire life. And the only way to get your arm strong to last an entire season, to throw 200 innings or more, is to throw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
I know this is going to make Gail not happy on Twitter, GCF123. I know she's disagreed with me on this issue before, saying that it's basically been more than, you know, Wood and Pryor. And she's right. There have been more instances. Gil Patterson is another instance where, you know, the Yankees just kind of killed that guy's arm in the late 70s. And you know, he could have been something special, but he turned out to be, you know, a good pitching coach. And here's my problem. My problem is there are
more... Step on the gas.
There are more issues. There are more of those, you know, the guys that have succeeded than the guys that haven't succeeded. I'm sick of hearing about these guys down in the minor leagues being taken out after five innings because they get into a little bit of trouble. You're never going to teach them anything. I'm sick of hearing about these guys that come into ball games and, you know, they're on a pitch count or they're on an innings limit. You are babying these guys. I'm sorry, but Jabba Chamberlain is completely screwed up because of everything that's going on with pitch counts and innings limits and limitations and Jabba rules. And in the 1960s and 1970s, did they have the same strength, coaches and technology that they have? So these guys are stronger than those guys.
Better taken care of, better training, better trainers.
And there should be because there is more of a financial investment in each of these players.
Absolutely.
However, the only way you can get strong by being a pitcher is by throwing and pitching and extra long tosses and just continuing to throw and throw and throw and throw. When was the last time you saw a guy have 20 complete games in a season? Never. They don't do it anymore. They're not trained to go any more than 6 to 7 innings. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me.
I got a little carried away there.
You don't have to apologize to me. It's your opinion. That's how you feel. I could play devil's advocate here, and I could see where the Yankees are coming from because he is part of their future. He could be their future number one. Who knows?
Right.
And they want to be protective with him. But I could also see your point of view, and it's the point of view of all of our guests that we've had on this show, and it's the point of view of my father, and I'm sorry, but when it comes to baseball, I take what my father says as gospel because he's been there and he's done it, and that's just the way it is. And if Nolan Ryan echoes it, if Tommy Lasorda echoes it, if Jim Cott echoes it, who do you want me to believe?
Look at the days.
Who do you want me to believe?
Look at the days of Nolan Ryan pitching over 300 innings in a season. Look at the days of Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and Bob, some of the greatest pitchers in the history of this game pitched 250 to 300 innings a season.
See, this goes back to what I used to say to my mother when I was a kid. Like, we couldn't have aspirin until we were 18. Like, if there was some magical chemical in the aspirin that when you put it in your mouth, it said, oh, he's 18.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't get it, Chris. I look at these young pitchers.
Look at Cliff Lee. He just threw three straight complete games. Why isn't anybody? Why are there no panties bunching up? Why?
And my problem with this whole thing.
Explain that to me.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sick of the 100 pitches in a game being the magical number. I'm sick of.
What did Tommy Lasorda say last week?
Pitch counts are the worst thing to ever happen to this game. He said it. I'm just sick of these organizations. I get it. They're trying to save their investment. But you know what? These guys aren't going to get any better. Phil Hughes, the only reason why he's getting in and out of trouble now is because he had that bullpen stint last year. I'm completely convinced of it. Because he came into situations where he had two men on, one man on. He had runners on base coming into a game. Because down in the minors, he would pitch five perfect innings, and then there would be a runner on that he would, you know, put one or two runners on, and then they would pull him from the game. So how are you that? How are you even supposed to learn how to get in and out of trouble?
Probably reached his pitch count. Anyway, we could talk about this and go back and forth for hours and hours, but we're not going to because we're going to end that right there. But we, you know, you got your. I think you got your point across.
I see that you did get a question about Nick Johnson and Adam Dunn.
I did.
I know.
That we will be answering this evening.
Oh, sorry. Well, this is going to be after this evening.
Yeah, I know.
So.
I'm just saying that we'll answer it this evening, and we just talked to Tim about this.
Okay.
And Tim brought it up, and he said Adam Dunn is a potential candidate to be a New York Yankee. So,
which I kind of...
It's another Jack Kingman.
Strikeout
or home run.
Last year he hit 280. This year he's at 265. Nah. It's higher than Mark Teixeira at this point. I mean, he's getting base hits. But my whole point is I think they need that DH spot for guys like Alex Rodriguez, who are, you know, he's still got the hip injury, Jorge Posada, who can't catch every day anymore. You know, I just think they need to keep that DH spot open. And when Nick Johnson comes back, see you on the bench. I'm sorry. You and your mustache. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, if we need a walk late in the game to get Gardner off the bench and in there to run if he's not playing.
This is uber negative today. I'm sorry. Let's end on a positive note.
Well, we're going to end on a positive note. Do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is...
Christmas Day for New York Knicks fans.
Yeah. They're going to be getting cold.
They're
going to
get cold
because LeBron James will not be in New York.
I am putting myself out there right now, and this is how we're going to end the podcast this week. If there are any Knicks fans listening, you are not, I repeat, not going to have LeBron James.
Have fun with Joe Johnson.
And if Isaiah sent this team back 10 years the way he did things, if the Knicks do not get LeBron James, they're going to get set back 50 years because this team is not going to compete for a very, very
they don't have any draft picks
time.
Yeah,
very long time. The Garden is going to be quiet for a very long time.
I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm saying
I am too.
The but Nets have a better shot.
The Nets have a better shot because they have a better nucleus.
And not only that, but they have a better owner. James Dolan, you stink, sir.
And we heard on Mike Francesa's show that he wanted to buy the Knicks.
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Knicks fans.
I got to say, you know, Jay-Z and Prokhorov, they're going to do their little pitch. They could bend LeBron's ear.
Here, the Knicks are not going to get LeBron. You know what? I will stamp that guaranteed. And I'll come back. If he does, I'll come back on the podcast and I'll eat crow. I will write it on a cake and I will eat the entire cake in front of Joe.
My prediction, he's really thinking about four teams. That's my prediction right now.
The Bulls?
He's thinking Bulls. He's thinking Cavs, Heat, and Nets. I think those are the four teams he's thinking about.
Yeah.
I really think that's where he's going to end up.
I am praying, and this is a Knicks fan talking. But I work for this network, and we have the Nets, baby. I want job security. Woo! Let's go, LeBron!
You could see the Nets doing a proposal to LeBron, like, listen, we have we're 30 million under the cap. We could get that extra 3 million to get those two max contracts. If we sign you, we could go out and we could try to get a Chris Bosh, or they could go out and get David Lee and just put David Lee, Brooke, and LeBron and Devin Harris.
You get LeBron and you get maybe Amari Stoudemire, and then next year Carmelo's a free agent.
Yeah.
And Prokhorov has plenty of money.
Yeah.
And if you have LeBron, Carmelo.
I mean, that's a plan that they could say too. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Look, all kidding aside, I mean, would it be great if either one of these local teams got them? Yes, because it just makes basketball relevant again in this area. Because the Nets, as we all know, were just awful last season. It was brutal to watch. The Knicks, you know, every time you think they're turning the corner and D'Antoni has something there, they just take the carpet and right out from under your legs.
The Nets and Knicks are getting somebody. They're absolutely going to get
somebody.
No,
they're going to get better, but they're not going to be championship contenders.
Right.
The Knicks have put all of their eggs in one basket.
I don't think the Nets have to either.
But the Knicks have.
The Knicks have, yes.
The Nets have a good core.
Then I think the Nets could logically say, we'll sign Amari or David Lee or Carlos Boozer, and then next year we'll wait for Melo to come.
See, the Knicks could be without Lee, too. The Knicks could be without LeBron and Lee. If they don't go after Lee hard, Lee's going to say, you know what, peace. I'm going to the Nets because you guys didn't want me. And then the Knicks are going to wind up with
Joe Johnson.
And you know what? Good luck watching that team.
Yeah.
Good luck because it's going to be awful. I don't care what he did with D'Antoni and Phoenix. Guess who they don't have? Steve Nash.
It's true. It's very true. They got Chris Duhon, though.
They got Tony Douglas. It's great.
Oh, this is fun today.
Yeah.
This is really fun.
All right, I had
a good time. Yeah.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Asia, our intern, also is here.
Round of applause.
She's probably going to pick another career choice after listening to this.
We have a little bit of an audience today.
Yeah, we did, but we want to wish her well. She is going to go to Wake Forest, so have fun with the Demon Deacons down there.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Joe, I think that's going to wrap things up for us this week.
The greatest commercial ever, David Wright, the Demon Deacon, covering the ESPN sports. Isn't that a great commercial?
Yes, it was.
They don't want the Demon Deacon to go to the party that they're going to.
And on that note, that's Joe Auriemma.
Yo.
I'm Chris Sheeran, and this has been the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Toodles, everyone. We'll see you next week. When the word is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. Enjoy yourself, groove, let the madness and the music get to you, like it's so bad at all, you live it off the wall. Like